There are many things that happen when you love something. I believe it transforms your entire world. So when you do the things that you love, you ultimately become a better person and you look at life differently because you build an intense need for something. And it's in that need that you really push forward.
Come on, Puddin.
You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
Woo! What's up? And welcome to another ride with me. Oh my goodness, just a quick life update. Your girl is moving. Yes, God blessed me with an amazing apartment. And this is my 11th move. And I'm just praying to God that I can stay for 2 years at least. Now, don't ask me why I've moved so many times. I just kind of felt like I love trying new things. I love the serendipity of life and I love apartments and I love the way the environments are. I love how every little neighborhood is different and I love the curiosity of life. But now I'm getting old, too old for curiosity. So I'm grateful to be moving to this a new apartment. And along with that, Puddin is at training. Yes, for 2 weeks, my baby girl is gone and she's already terrified and it's only day one. So I'm grateful that God is doing some amazing things in our life. And I just really wanted to talk to you about what it takes to live an abundant life. What are my secrets to really living on a very spiritually affluent life? And I say it like that because it sounds cool. And I also say that because it's true. Living a life abundantly in the spirit means that you're able to sincerely cast your cares on God and you're able to live in the fruits of what he has. And you don't have a limited mindset because you understand that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. You understand that every obstacle is an opportunity for you to discover something amazing about yourself, your environment, the people around you, and the power of the God that you serve. When you look at life from that capacity, it unlocks the ability for you to transform any environment that you're in to be able to have authority and dominion over that environment. So for me, when I'm walking through my walk with Christ, I'm always trying to understand, what am I learning from this situation? Right now, I am building 3 businesses at the same time. I would never recommend this to anyone, but I understand that God is showing me what I'm truly capable of and what I have been, hate to mention it, but what I've been lackadaisical on in my life because I allowed myself to believe that I could not achieve the things that God wanted me to achieve. Not in the sense that I didn't have the creativity, but that I wouldn't have the ability to focus long enough to see these things through to fruition and to also be able to market them, create them, package them, and all of these things. Sometimes you can get so overwhelmed by the idea alone that you quit, or you start the idea and you're like, no, this next step, I don't know how I am going to get that done. But what God has been teaching me when it comes to the abundant life, and this is the first secret I'm going to give you, is to live in the moment. Do not think about the next step. Truly, whatever is going on in your life right now at this moment today is all that you need to focus on. So for me, all I'm focusing on is packing up today, finishing this ride up, editing it, and that's it. Like, that's all I need to focus on. Tomorrow will have its angels set out for you tomorrow. Tomorrow will come with new bread, new energy, new wealth of knowledge, new discernment. You cannot apply tomorrow's needs to today. You have got to use what you have today. Focus on what you have to do today. That way your tasks are met, and two, whatever daily bread you get doesn't go rotten because you're looking for tomorrow's food. Don't be hungry when there's already food on your plate, okay? So just take time to eat, to enjoy whatever it is, and to look forward to tomorrow, but most importantly, live in the gratitude of today. That's my number one thing for sure. Now, number two is do what you love. And I say this casually because what you love doesn't always make you feel good. Sometimes what you love will force you to change. It will force you to get on your knees and cry and pray. It will force you to have to level up. It will force you to have to get humble and get low. There are many things that happen when you love something. I believe it transforms your entire world. So when you do the things that you love, you ultimately become a better person and you look at life differently because you build an intense intense need for something. And it's in that need that you really push forward. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone, I'm talking about myself, where you knew that you were a want and not a need? Many people don't like to need things because then there's a sense of, if I don't get this, what will happen next? Many people don't want to need things because they're prideful and they feel they can do everything on their own. But when you have a need, you're willing to do whatever is necessary for that thing because you value it so much. So I believe that love is what establishes value. The reason why Jesus died on the cross for our sins is because God loved us so much. We are very valuable to Him. He needed to have a relationship with us. He didn't want it. He was willing to move heaven and earth in order for us to be able to have this point of access. When you need something, you learn to love it and it learns to love you. And your life just ultimately rotates in this sense of just genuine compassion, genuine fulfillment, and genuine self-worth. You feel worthy of whatever you have. So that's the number two thing I would say, is do the things that you love and understand what love is. Love is not just the things you like, it's the things that you're willing to do whatever for. Number three, focus on the promise. The promise is so important. Many times we're upset because of the way things happen. We always wonder like, well, God, you promised me this, but it's not happening the way you told me. Why am I so frustrated? Why am I so upset? You know, I don't have the money. You know, this is exhausting. And all of these different feelings and emotions can make us forget about the promise. And I want you to understand that the promise keeper keeps the promise. He never guarantees the strategy. You hear that? The strategy is never guaranteed. There are many times you're going to have to shift, like go left, go right, go up, go down, go in all kinds of circles to be able to get what you need accomplished. The promise is the purpose. The promise is the purpose. The journey is just the experience. And many people like to believe that there's no destination in life, but that doesn't make any sense because then we're going to nowhere land. But there are destinations in life and there are surprises along the way. You are headed somewhere. You are headed to meet a big God, to see the big things in your life happening. And those are destinations. Everything that God has promised you in your life will happen. But the strategy, the people that you'll have to lose, the ones you will gain, the ones you'll struggle to work with, the ones that will make you so happy, the highs, the lows, all the money, no money, good creativity, no creativity, great relationships, bad relationships, everything you can think of will happen. And there's no assigned order for it to happen. You just have to focus on the promise. And I say that because, you know, I've been dealing with something and I talked about this in my last ride and my last two rides, but I'm here to just come and eat crow. You know what I'm saying? As they say, and kind of take my words back, because obviously I'm realizing like I can't just be saying things so cavalierly because, you know, God is about the promise. It's not about something very specific. Yes, He says, ask and you shall receive. But I think we have to give God room to make the promise happen according to what we want and to not be so specific that we feel let down instead of encouraged when we don't get something that we thought was the promise but was really a counterfeit. Does that make sense? Sometimes we pray for the counterfeit instead of realizing that the promise is what God is working on. So for me, I have been praying for a situation and I ain't got no more time to continue to pray for it. I'm so over it. I'm past it. And I sat back and I said, well, God, you told me that that was for me. And I know I'm not crazy. You showed me what was to happen. And I know I'm not crazy. But what I understood is that sometimes people's disobedience and rebellion on the other side can cause God to change the strategy. So yeah, that person is no longer part of the promise, but the promise still remains between me and God. God is just going to find someone who can replace that person and do the job well. You know, we are all called to serve the kingdom. And some of us delay ourselves. And when we delay ourselves, we honestly just miss out on a blessing. So when people are being lazy and being rebellious and disobedient, listen, I've been there. And I know that there are many things I have lost in my life that someone else has seen favor for, okay? Because I wasn't being obedient to God. So at the end of the day, I understand that God is going to keep His promise, even if the strategy changes, okay? And the number four is this. You have to understand why you are doing everything you're doing. Why do you do what you do? Many people don't understand why. Why? That why is so important because it can either lead you to a satisfying life or lead you to being very dissatisfied with life. My why is because the enemy has really tried to come after me and tell me I was nothing. And I'm so grateful for God saving me. I'm so grateful that God did not let me take control over my life. I'm grateful that everything that's happened in my life, God is capable of using it for good. And I am more curious to see what my God can do. How big is he? How is he going to blow my mind? I am so excited to love God more, to unlock my gifts, to help and impact the world, and for him to say, job well done. That is truly my why. And while I live a life of luxury, I would like to say, many people don't know what I do. What I do is I serve God. And to be into service for him, to be able to have that role and to be trusted to serve God and to serve his kingdom is really like touching to me because I don't even want to get emotional. It's touching to me because I've done so much for people who have cared so little about me. I have done so much for people who till this day will never testify of the things that I have done. I have done so much for people who promised to love me and did nothing but sabotage, stab me in the back, break their promises, and make me beg. To be very honest, I just sit back and I'm like, God, why have you put me in the position where I'm begging for people to love me? This is so crazy. I'm very lovable. I'm a good person. I'm a good time. But why do people come into my life to make me feel rejected and to make me be in the position where I'm begging for love? Just love me. I mean, you're taking everything from me. Why don't you just love me too? And God had to really get me to understand, A, I'm different. And that's okay. Because when people reject me, God accepts me on a higher level. And that's really how people have to learn more about themselves and really see how God works in their life. So for me, whenever something bad happens, God just comes around and makes it 10 times better. So I'm learning not to be so upset about the things that I experience because I know God is going to come back tenfold with this. So it's okay. Not that it's okay what they've been doing. But it is okay because I serve a good God and I'm happy and I don't want to lose my position in the kingdom because that's my why. I wake up every day to serve a God who never rejects me. He always accepts me. He loves me and takes me to higher levels. He shows me the greatness inside of me. He unlocks gifts inside of me that man can't pay for. You understand that? To serve someone who doesn't ask anything of you other than to listen and to be obedient. And then in that, everything you've asked for should come. It's very simple math, but you know, many of us like to make our why for money. We like to make our why for power. We like to make our why for authority. We like to make our why because we want to solve childhood trauma. We want to make our why because we're tired of being lonely. We have all these reasons to do things that don't really make any real significant impact in the world. And I beg to say that you won't be happy because when you get things outside of God, you have to use all of your energy to satisfy those things. And that is where people really get exhausted with life because their why is not within God. What is in God comes with provision, and provision means resources. You don't have to struggle as much when you are in the will of the Lord. And even when you are in the struggle, and you are in persecution because we do face that, we have tools. We have tools. So my why is so much bigger. It's so, so much bigger than me. I really want people to say, how did this girl really launch 3 different businesses just like that in, you know, a couple of months? How did she do everything from beginning to end? And I want to say, because I serve a big God who downloaded details inside of me. And because I stayed low and I kept my ear to heaven, I heard all the details. And now look at what God has done. And I want to be able to take all the money he gives me and reestablish it back in his kingdom and continue to do amazing things for him. That people will be able to see God in a different kind of way. that his love and his compassion will remain in this earth after I die. That is sincerely my why. Now, I am definitely blessed to be able to have this why because I don't have anything else to worry about in life other than God and my dog. So for me, it's easy to be like, I serve God 1,000% because I don't have a mom. I don't have a husband. I don't have kids and I don't really have family like that. But I do have you and I love you. That's why I'm here constantly serving, giving you the best that I can give. Because I know if you become amazing and you become exactly what God has called you to be, how dope is that? That my obedience in every single moment where I'm tired and exhausted and I can't like come do these rides on time and I'm all over the place, I still show up for you because I believe in you and I believe in the God inside of you and what he can do in your life. And when you transform the world, it will be just because Charity woke up every week and did a ride with you. How amazing is that? So those are the four tips that I have for you when it comes to my secret of living a more abundant life. And these are secret tips, okay? Don't share them with nobody who ain't believing in God because they ain't gonna get it. Apply it first for yourself. Be consistent and be persistent in it. And tell me that it changes your life because I believe it will. Now, I want us to read a verse real quick in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And the reason why I want us to review this verse is because it talks about Solomon, the son of David. God came to Solomon and asked, ask what you want. And Solomon asked for knowledge and discernment. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for gold. He didn't ask for, you know, revenge on the people that did him wrong. He didn't ask for any of that. He just said, God, give me more knowledge and wisdom that I may be able to serve your people. The responsibility of the people in the kingdom of God is what gets you access to everything you've ever wanted. God works very different than man. He checks the posture of someone's heart and not on their outer appearance. You can be attractive and have a great heart. And you can also be considered unattractive to whoever and still have a great heart. Or you could be beautiful with a nasty heart. God looks inwardly, but man looks outwardly. And the reason why God blessed Solomon with everything, including making him greater than any king, and said that no other king after you, Herebosh, no other king after you will be as great because you sought knowledge and you sought wisdom and discernment. Those are the things that will unlock a truly abundant life. Know your why. Know your why. Know who you are called to serve and what they need. And when you know what those people need, ask God to make you exceptionally amazing in the things that you need to serve the people of God correctly. If you need money, it's to serve the people of God correctly. But as leaders, now everybody ain't a leader. You know, everybody's not a leader. I know for myself as a leader, I have sincerely been praying for more wisdom and discernment because the more you have to steward, the more you need to be quick and rapid with decision making. You need to be quick and rapid with movement. You need to know when to heed, when to go up, down, left, right. It's a whole cha-cha. It's just literally all of that, okay? And you have to do it gracefully. So for me, I just want to be the best person I can be for God. So I do pray for discernment. You know, I pray that, you know, when I meet my husband, you know, I'm not a pest. You know, I'm not a nagging pest. You know, I pray when I have my children that I, you know, I have the discernment and the wisdom to know when they really need me and how to respond to them and how to create balance in my life, that I can be able to enjoy all that God has given me. Those are the things that I pray for. Legit. So now that I've given you the quick, you know, recap of what I'm about to read, let me just read it to you, okay? So it's 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 12. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, You have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made him king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this is your heart. You have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but you have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Now you hear that? I prophesy to you that God is going to make you ruler over great things, things you don't even have to work hard for. You will have an inheritance the way David did to give to Solomon. You understand? And not only will God establish you as great, but he will make you even better. It is God's desire that every generation is better than the generation before. But if you stay persistent in this season and you seek knowledge and wisdom, there will be no one greater than you in the future. That is an amazing thing to know, that even after you have passed, your greatness will sustain. Be amazing. Be incredible. Be everything you can be, which is exceptional. I love you. And I'm about to go back to packing. Cheers to a new month. And congratulations on making it 6 months the root in this year. I love you. Bye.
Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity, and don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram @ Chatting with Charity.